This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Benchmark Maps. What holds more potential than a road atlas spread out in front of you? The end of the year is a great time to reflect on where we've been and where we're going. Start planning your next adventures with Benchmark Maps. They make detailed road and recreation atlases for each of the western states, including Alaska. And they're field checked for accuracy, as they have been for the last 23 years. So if you have your sights set on a road in the California High Sierra, say, you can have confidence that you'll get there, because Benchmark Maps have been there too. Learn more and get planning by heading to benchmarkmaps.com and using coupon code SHEEXPLORES for 20% off your order. That's SHEEXPLORES with no space. benchmarkmaps.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
The first time I went into the wilderness, I had no clue what to expect. And the guide that I had was one of my professors, and he didn't really prepare us. So I feel like it's kind of like that, because if you do prepare for motherhood, it's never what you plan it to be.
This is Christina Frost. We've known each other for a few years, even though we've just met in person a couple of times. We used to be part of this virtual biweekly meeting for women starting communities and companies in the outdoor industry. Christina works a full-time job in the tech industry of San Francisco, but she couldn't resist getting involved in the outdoor space as more and more women's ventures were rising to the surface. I've always admired that she doesn't go into anything lightly, and it's how she's approached motherhood, too. She didn't know what to expect when she had a baby girl, Emma, in July, but it's not that different from when she first started backpacking.
So I guess I was kind of likening it to that, because you get out there and it's like, oh, this is harder than I thought. There's a lot of physical and a lot more on the emotional side for boundaries that get bumped up against. So yeah, I think that's why that metaphor really resonates with me, because I did not have the most wonderful time in the wilderness the first time. It was really hard and mentally challenging.
But it's a place you feel pretty comfortable now?
Yeah, I think for me, at least in the wilderness, I've had really low lows. I had to push myself, but I've had really high highs of, you know, the first time I saw a shooting star, like that was pretty magical. We were sleeping like in the desert under the stars, no tent. And I was like, okay, I can see why this is awesome. This makes sense. And so I think motherhood's the same way. Like my kid, Emma, she's amazing. I think the world of her. So I get a lot out of it now, you know, when she smiles or when she's, now she kind of makes cooing noises, and it's awesome because I'm like, she's going to be like making words before she's a year old. And that's pretty rewarding. So I wouldn't trade that.
So there are those shooting star moments.
Yes. Yeah, no one talks about these things. And what I think, like, it's so important for us to start having these conversations, because otherwise you isolate it and people feel so alone and like they feel like they're crazy, and it's normal.
Christina has postpartum depression.
Let's see, I got diagnosed probably about a month ago. And so, yeah, right now I try to take it day by day. Like, see, the other day, I definitely had a mini meltdown. The meltdowns are, like, much better now. They're way more controllable because I know what's going on now and I know how to take care of myself, which usually involves going to bed right away. My therapist has this theory, and I can't remember where she got it from, but the idea of, you only have so many spoons in your like hypothetical drawer for the day. And when you run out of spoons, that's kind of when things like hit the fan. And so, yeah, I definitely run out of spoons more often than the average person right now with postpartum depression. And so that day I had cleaned the kitchen and I think I kept going. I was like folding the laundry and doing a few other things. And then I was pretty much spent. And then I just went into a crying mess.
So that's what a meltdown is?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I don't think I can do this, and like, I'm a terrible mom, why can't I do enough? Like, there's a ton of guilt, there's a ton of like deep sadness, and definitely anxiety as well, just not, it's more depression forward for me, but definitely anxiety kicks in, used all my spoons, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much to do, it's like overwhelming for me.
Do you feel like a different person than before? I mean, I'm speaking as someone who's not a mother. I am also speaking as someone who experiences depression and anxiety. So I'm curious whether, one, if you have experienced depression and anxiety before, how it's different. And then also just otherwise, like how you feel as yourself, I guess.
Yeah. So I have PMDD when I'm not pregnant and not breastfeeding. So that's like the severe version of PMS. And so I guess the nice thing about it is it only lasts like, it's really bad 1 to 2 days a month. And I pretty much had close to the same symptoms of depression, like really deep sadness, not wanting to exist. And for me, it was like weird because I was just like, I just want to be a rock. I don't want to be a human. It was really weird. Like, it wasn't like suicidal during my whatever phase that happens and right before I ovulate. And so for me, I had a feeling going in to pregnancy that I might get postpartum depression. So I was definitely looking out for those types of thoughts and stuff. And anxiety, I think it was definitely worse when I was pregnant, just because like commuting 1 hour and 20 minutes each way. But yeah, for me, I definitely feel different because, well, first of all, I just can't handle the things I used to. But my therapist says like, you'll be more yourself soon. It'll happen. But I mean, it definitely changes you because my priorities have definitely shifted. It does two things. It can shift your priorities, and it also makes you realize like how really important something is or how unimportant something is.
Do you think you'll tell your daughter about your experience when she's old enough?
Oh, yes, definitely. We're not even giving enough support to mothers who don't have postpartum depression. And so I think it's really important, especially as me having a daughter, like I want to make sure if she decides to have children, in whatever way, if that's adoption or having them herself, I want to make sure she gets the support she needs. And I want to hopefully be there for her. And I want to be very upfront and honest with my experience because it can also be genetic. So it's really important, I think. I'm also someone who is very open about talking about mental health and also sexual and reproductive health. So that kind of stuff's definitely really important to me. And my daughter will know probably more than she wants to know about all of those things.
Oh, she sounds like a lucky girl.
I hope so.
Where Christina was at when I talked with her can be pretty isolating. She said trouble connecting with other women who have postpartum depression or who want to talk about it. It's easy to find people online, but not as easy to find people in person. And though she's grateful for her friends and family, she's one of the few people in her network that has a baby.
You know, because most of the time I would spend, you know, going outside, going camping, going backpacking, and none of my friends in that kind of social circle have children. So I've had to make new friends. There's even an app for moms. It's like Tinder for moms. it's called Peanut, and you like swipe left or right. It's just like Tinder. And you go on like mom dates with your babies.
while trying to make friends is a good thing, Christina can't help but grieve a huge part of her life.
Yeah, I feel like I've lost the outdoor community since becoming a mother, because right now there's this big flourishing community of women getting outside, and I'm used to be a part of evangelizing that, and that was really exciting. But now it's really hard because most of the women I know don't have children, and I can't go on those trips anymore. So I think that's been really hard for me, kind of losing that social circle, because I haven't lost that passion for the outdoors. It's just kind of evolved now with my new role and my new physical capacity. So that's been really hard for me. I actually try not to look at the She Explores stuff or the local groups that we have here in the Bay Area for women, because it kind of makes me grieve the life that I've lost. And I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in this. I have a feeling there are other outdoorsy moms out there feeling the same way. And I'm really excited there is, you know, Hike It Baby, but I wish there were more things and more groups than just that.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like there's really, you know, there's an opportunity for more, but it's, you know, you're not the one who's going to necessarily build it. And you are such a, you know, you are a builder, like you have created things and that's your nature too, but it's just, that's not really possible.
Not at this point.
Yeah, not at this point, but I don't know. I hear you, and I wonder like what a conversation like this would sound like in a year, you know?
Yeah.
What's going to be different?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hopeful too. The one thing that I've definitely learned from past therapy is the idea of not right now. And that really helps me a lot, actually, to think about just not right now. It's not never. It's just not right now.
So right now, I talked to Christina a few days before an outing that she wouldn't have thought of as particularly adventurous in the past. But as I've said before, adventure is relative. She and her husband, Preston, were taking their 2-month-old daughter car camping for the first time, 2 nights in the Oakland Hills, just under an hour from their home. So thinking about, you know, what you used to do before you had Emma, I know that this weekend you're going to go on a camping trip with her. Why do you want to take her camping?
So being outdoors is one of my main priorities, and that hasn't changed. And what's really great is she already loves being outside. We have a really great backyard, and she spends a lot of time in it. With my husband and with me, like we can just like put out a blanket and she'll just like lie in the grass for like an hour, just looking around. Yesterday, he decided he was going to add some more sprinklers to our watering system. So he put her in a little bouncer and she just watched him dig like a trench for like 2 hours. So yeah, like being outside is pretty important to both Preston and I, and she loves it. So I think camping is the next step for us to see what it's like with she's 2 months old. So I think we can do it. You know, we are pretty expert campers. Camping's really comfortable for us. I think the adventure will be having the baby out there. But I think the thing that I'm most uncertain about is like, how do I clean her bottles? But also for me, like, so I'm not breastfeeding. It hasn't worked out for us. Breastfeeding for us has been really hard. I just pump my milk for her. So it's real glamorous. So I also have to like figure out, okay, am I going to pump in the tent? Do I pump in the car? Do I have enough like battery power for my pump? So those are the things that are like on the top of my mind. And we're also making sure to not go very far from home so we can come back home within like, you know, a 45-minute drive. I love being up in the Oakland Hills. It's kind of like a nice refuge. It's really, I feel like the Oakland Berkeley Hills are like the only place in the East Bay, at least, that is like really like full of trees, and you can smell the eucalyptus and the bay leaves. It reminds me of the Presidio and Golden Gate Park. So it'll be really nice.
Camping will be taking a different shape for Christina and Preston. He'll be doing more of the work, and they'll have more comforts than they would normally bring.
We're going to be bringing a giant, like, aero bed, which is, like, insane, because I haven't, like, done car camping, like, this gloriously, like, ever. So I'm pretty excited. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've proven myself as a hardcore, like, wilderness guide in the past, where I've slept on the foam mats, and I'm pretty excited to be on something where I don't have to like get off the ground.
That is a good call to make your, you know, set yourself up to be comfortable, set yourself up for, you know, some level of success in this.
Yeah. I mean, my body is still recovering from being pregnant and giving birth. Like, I have to go to physical therapy every other week. I have hypermobility, and so that's actually taken away a lot of the opportunity to actually be in the outdoors the way I used to be. That's a whole nother podcast episode in itself.
Yeah, what is hypermobility?
It's like being double jointed, which means your joints extend past their range of motion they're supposed to. And that means a lot of pain, and a lot of like your muscles are really tight in some areas and really loose in others. The thing with pregnancy is there's this hormone called relaxin that helps to open your pelvis wider so you can birth your baby. And so when you're hypermobile and you have relaxin, it's like makes everything way more extreme. So I'm still recovering from that. It's interesting. The physical limits you have during pregnancy and after.
Yeah, and that's not something people seem to talk about a lot either.
Like, oh, not at all.
Physical aspects.
I'm like, why do I still have this little like belly pooch? Like, I look like I'm still pregnant, and it's been like over 2 months. You know, some women don't have that, but you know, some of us have it. And the thing that has been really hard for me as well was like, I have all this outdoor apparel that, you know, I've collected over the years, and like none of it fits. Like I couldn't even zip like any of my jackets. Luckily, you know, I went and I could afford to go buy, you know, some basics. So but it's not cheap, right?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Definitely not cheap. So I went and bought like, you know, some long underwear and a jacket and some like base layer, like other base layers and stuff. But yeah, it's like no one like warns you. Like, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, and your body is so, you know, it's very core to who you are, you know, and how you feel in your body too. Like, no matter the size, it's just how you feel in it. So that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just a whole different ball game after you have a baby.
Well, I'm really excited to hear how it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what'll happen. It's definitely an adventure for us. Just like the wilderness, I've learned it's okay to turn around. It's also okay to like not finish something. And so I'm kind of going into it like that too. It's like if we decide to come back, you know, after one night, it's okay. Like, that doesn't mean that I failed.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's okay if you, you know, for some reason you guys get everything loaded up in the car and you don't even leave the driveway. Like, that's okay too.
Yeah.
It just means the timing's not right.
Yeah. I think for me that's a good point you make. I think for me I'm going to have to be pretty careful on Thursday and Friday with my spoons. making sure I don't run out of them in the next couple days. So we do make it out of the driveway at least. So, but I mean, it really helps to have a good spouse who's like really there and really helpful. You know, one day I do hope to have trips with just Emma and I, and I'm sure Preston will do daddy-daughter trips with her. And so I think that's really important to have that time alone. And then also I can't wait to get back into doing solo trips by myself. So there's something really, it's really important to not lose yourself once you become a mom or a parent in general.
We'll get to hear how camping went after this. I only learned a few years ago that the vagina is one of the most absorbent parts of our bodies, which kind of blew my mind because I hadn't really thought about what I'd been putting inside of it. Sustain is a brand that's committed to being a one-stop shop for vagina-friendly products, from condoms to lube to period products. And when they say vagina-friendly, they mean organic, vegan, fair trade, sustainably made, and free of parabens, glycerin, and synthetic ingredients that are commonly found in other brands. It feels a little personal to share, but I've known you for a couple of years now. My partner and I have been using Sustain natural condoms for a long time. We both have really sensitive skin, and when we read about the benefits of getting them delivered to our door, we made the switch and we haven't gone back. Sustain also makes 100% organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners, and now period underwear. Right now, listeners of She Explores can get 20% off your first one-time order and free shipping when you sign up at sustainnatural.com and use code EXPLORES at checkout. That's sustainnatural.com, promo code EXPLORES for all natural, vagina-friendly products that put women's bodies first. We're back. So how did last weekend go?
I count last weekend as a success. It did not go perfectly, but we ended up staying one night instead of two. But that one night was like super awesome and super quality, I would say. And I definitely had to learn my boundaries. That's like my theme for this whole having a kid thing. So yeah, Preston was the one who like packed and prepared everything for the trip, and I didn't really do anything. And then we got there and he set like everything up. I again didn't do a whole lot because I get like really overwhelmed pretty easily still.
Yeah.
And he cooked dinner, but it was amazing. So we enjoyed macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. It was a really nice campsite. It's like only 45 minutes away. It's like a super great family-friendly car camping place. So I'm really excited about that part. That was really nice to not have to worry about how am I going to wash bottles, because they actually had two really nice sinks just for dishwashing. The bathrooms were always clean and stocked. And the campsites were kind of spread out, which was really nice. So we got privacy and like people could have conversations in their sites and you wouldn't like overhear everything. So I thought it was a really great place to go camping, especially for the first time getting out there again.
How did you guys all sleep?
So Emma slept really well. She still wakes up throughout the night to eat, which is pretty normal for her age. But she would go right to sleep after she got her little snack. So that was awesome. And she didn't cry at all. It was amazing. Best camping baby ever. She loved it. I did not sleep very well. So that was hard. And I thought I could persevere through it and do a second night. But by like 3 o'clock the next day on the Saturday, I was like, I think we should go home today. And my husband was pretty happy with that. He's like, that sounds like a great idea. We stayed at the campsite probably till like five. on Saturday. So we still got to spend the day there, which was really nice. And then we just got the benefit of going home and ordering pizza and sleeping like in our own house.
Did it feel like you got away?
Yeah, it was definitely, it felt like it was like a glimpse into my old self. I don't know. It felt like, you're like, oh, I forgot about that like favorite sweater of mine. You put it on, you're like, oh yeah, I feel so good. It was kind of like that. I was like, oh yeah, I know how to do this and this is nice. And even though the bathroom was like the longest walk ever, I started to enjoy it because like I remember I got up in the morning to go to use the restroom and there were owls just talking to each other. And I was like, this is amazing. I miss this. So it was just like stuff like that that was really nice. And there's like turkeys walking around and the sunset through the like eucalyptus trees. Like we had a really great view. Like we were like perched on top of like a hill almost. And you can kind of like overlook like a little, kind of like a little canyon. It felt really good. And then even though I had to still do my whole like breast pumping thing, we set up the tent in a really nice way where I can just like leave the tent door open and just like look out into the woods. It was, I was like, I could get used to this. This is nice.
So you think you'll go again as a family?
Definitely. And I think it was really nice that we did something that was close to home and then something that was like super family friendly. It was kind of like a good experiment, if that makes any sense, just to try things out and see without having a whole lot of time invested in it or even like hope invested in it. Like for me, I was like, well, if it turns out to be a complete failure, we can at least learn from it and improve the next time we go.
When you mentioned, you know, that you felt like you kind of tapped into the self that you were before you had Emma, do you see yourself like seeking out that old self or integrating that old self with your new self?
Yeah, I think it's more of a integrating old and new. Like right now, I kind of feel, and this has been brought up a lot in like new motherhood, the idea of being like a caterpillar in a cocoon and basically you're goo, right? When you go in your cocoon, you become goo before you become a butterfly. And so I'm kind of in that stage right now. I don't really necessarily know what my new self is, but I know there's definitely a new self kind of being created in this time. And yeah, I definitely think there's going to be aspects of my old self that get to be part of my new self. And I don't think it's just one day I'll be a butterfly. Like, I definitely think it's like a slower evolution. But right now I still feel very much like goo and very vulnerable. Mm.
Do you, you know, and this is like a vague question. Do you have any, after doing your first camping trip, like any advice for new moms who want to do an overnight?
Yeah, I would definitely say, one, you should probably feel like camping was easy for you before having a kid. So if this is your first time going camping ever, I would probably not recommend it quite yet. But if your previous life before having, you know, your baby, babies, camping was like part of your life, then I think it's a great time to do it. Because it can be overwhelming if it's being a new mom and being new to camping. So I would say, one, you want it to be something you've done, you know, and feel comfortable with. And then two, I would say do something close to home. Don't try to go super far away because just in case, you know, you need to come home, you want to make it easy because sleep is so important and new moms will they'll know this. It's like when you get sleep, you're like a normal human. When you don't get sleep, you're just like you're like a newborn. You're it's there. You can't reason with someone who hasn't had any sleep. So stay close to home. And then I think the third thing I would say is like really listen to your body and your mind. You know, let this be an experiment. Don't go out there trying to prove anything to anyone, including yourself. Just treat it like an experiment and enjoy it. Don't think you have to persevere. I think there's something in our culture, not only in the outdoors world, but in motherhood, of this idea of like, well, I persevered through it, or I like really stuck it out. And like, I don't necessarily think you have to do it that way for everything. I'm not saying you need to be like, don't be a wuss, but at the same time, like, don't go camping. And if you're miserable the whole time, don't stay. Like, the whole point of going camping is to be out in nature and enjoy it and have it as a restorative experience. So know your boundaries.
Yeah, I love that you also baked in time to be slow, you know, to just relax and enjoy nature, because it's easy to, you know, overplan things. And like, I know I went on a backpacking trip last weekend and I didn't do enough planning, so it meant that we ended up having to hike like whenever we could so we could get out on time, or, you know, not hike too much into the dark. And like, it wasn't particularly restorative. Like, it was great in certain ways, but like, so I love that, like, it sounds like you had time on Saturday before you left to just kind of soak it up.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason I go out in nature. I mean, I think in my earlier days of being like an outdoor guide, I was trying to more prove myself or do really gnarly trips, right? And now I think over the past few years, even before becoming a mom, I really have chosen to use nature more as a restorative tool. And so I'm not going on these crazy backpacking trips like I used to, because I do want to just soak it in and enjoy it and not feel like I have to be rushed. Because as you know, doing backpacking, it's like, well, time's a huge factor. And like, if you're going to go really slow, like, you can't go nearly as far into the wilderness as you want. You can, but then you have to carry a lot more food. And so it's like a fine balance, right? So I find myself not necessarily going out into like the wilderness anymore, put air quotes around that. because for me, yeah, I guess it's kind of nature's transformed more into like a, I want to be just really slow and quiet in it, just because I get a lot more out of it in terms of feeling more calm and relaxed and being more with nature, because I'm experiencing nature and not just like walking through it. So I do a lot more of that, so that the campsite, I got to just like enjoy the smells of the eucalyptus trees and just listening to like the wind in the trees and the owls in the morning. Like, it was like 4 a.m. or something. They started hooting. It was awesome. I get a lot more from that, and oh, it's so good.
Is there anything else that you want to add about your experience camping?
For me, it was just really allowing my husband to kind of be the one that was doing most of the work. I think that that can be kind of hard for most people to let their spouse or partner do the majority, especially if you've been in a relationship where, you know, things are 50-50, or maybe you even do more. Mm. But it really helps bring down the anxiety for myself when I just let go and accept that, like, I just need to relax. That really, really helped me. And also, I think we totally, like, our whole camping experience was different, because usually we use like little tiny backpacking tents and like really thin mattresses, and Like, we're pretty bare bones, but we did buy like a big family tent and this giant air mattress, and our tent has a giant vestibule. Like, it's like the same size as our tent. So it was like we had this awesome, like, covered front porch. And so we were able to hang out in it. Like, that's where I would do my pumping for the breast milk. And I would just be able to, like, keep the baby out of the sun, because you can't put sunblock on babies when they're that young. And yeah, it was like super cush. So I was like, okay, you know what? I used to think this was ridiculous, but now I think this is nice. So it's really interesting what's happened for me, because it's not necessarily like, ooh, like I have to like live the dirtbag style or the super like glamping living. I'm like, oh, I like both. And that's okay to like both.
Yeah, because you don't know what it's going to look like in a few years, too.
Yeah, and down the road, we'll get back to doing more of the like lighter style camping for sure. But it's really nice to allow yourself to not be so hardcore, is what I'm realizing. I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, I don't have to be hardcore all the time. I can enjoy my really cushy camp chairs with my camp table and my fancy vestibule. And I was like, this is okay.
Thank you to Christina for sharing your story. I know you're right. It's important to talk about these things. Links to her social media can be found in the show notes and the episode landing page via she-explorers.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Benchmark Maps and Sustain. If you enjoy listening to She Explores, please take the time to review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Even better, share this podcast with a friend. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, so make sure to tag us so we'll see it. And this week's recommendation for a podcast I think you might enjoy, another one that I love is The Nod from Gimlet Media. Like, as I said before, Gimlet is a fantastic network, if you're not familiar with it. The Nod is, as described, an exploration of the beautiful, complicated dimensions of Black life. So it centers around Black culture. It doesn't stick to a format, but there are two hosts, reported stories, interviews, and thought pieces. I love the episode hashtag Why Not Keenan, which is kind of protesting why Keenan Thompson hasn't earned an Emmy yet. As a child of the 90s, I really appreciated that. If you enjoy She Explores, I also know you'll enjoy our sister podcast, Women on the Road, which is all about life on the road from the feminine perspective. It comes out on Fridays. It's hosted by Laura Hughes. And last week's episode was particularly outdoorsy. It featured a woman named Brittany, who is a river surfer. And it talks about how she's in recovery from a traumatic brain injury. It's a really good one. Find it on Apple Podcasts or via she-explorers.com. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back next week with another podcast. But in the meantime, you can connect with us via our She Explores podcast Facebook group. And Christine is a part of the group, so if you have any questions for her about her experience, you can ask her there as well. Music in this episode is by Kay Engel and Jason Shaw via the Free Music Archive using a Creative Commons Attributions license. Until next week, have fun out there.